The Catholics of Oz is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit sqpn.com/give.
You're listening to episode 71 of The Catholics of Oz. The Catholics of Oz is a show where we discuss faith, culture, and what's been happening from an Aussie perspective. Whether it's sinners or science, apostolates and apps, providence or productivity, you can hear it right now on The Catholics of Oz. Hello, I'm Lindsay Sant. Welcome to episode 71 of The Catholics of Oz, our first one for 2022. A little bit delayed and we'll talk about why in a moment. But before I do, joining me today is Lido Sobol. He's the only person joining me today. There's only cricket. Only cricket's coming from where Caroline is because she's not here yet.
Poor dear.
Yeah,
poor
we'll talk God. About why. But Lido, how are you going?
I'm doing well, Lindsay. Happy New Year, everyone. Yes, 2022. It's me. Okay, we're going to say this every year, but 2021, where did that go? It was so fast. Ooh.
I don't know. We're kind of locked up for most of it, so I'm not sure.
I think it was again. Oh, yeah. Melbourne. Oh, Melbourne.
Yeah. Can we say that, I don't know, that we've done time now after having, you know, two years of on and off lockdowns, you know, some pretty big ones.
I think so, man. I think so. I think if we go lockdown again, I'm sorry to say, we might have some riots going on in Melbourne. Not again, sorry, but you know what I mean. I think it will be everyone will be up in arms going, why are we in lockdown? And I think it's more the economy as well and jobs and everything. And it's hard. It's been hard. And I've been seeing it on the news about supplies as well. And it was something. I was going to do shopping online. And when you look at supplies, oh my goodness, there's nothing much left on there.
Yeah, supply chain's been an issue. I think that's happening in a lot of places around the world, just with the Omicron wave as it is.
Yeah,
it's made, you know, obviously a lot of people ill as we try to open up now.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so where we are in Australia at the moment now, for anyone who's not in Australia, lockdowns, basically we've been told that lockdowns are not part of the plan anymore. So the drive is to open up. I hope they're doing the right thing.
That's true.
I can't say I have an opinion on. I don't want to be locked down again. I definitely don't want to be because it's you know, obviously there are other costs associated with locking down. You know, there's the benefit is that the virus doesn't spread and you know, less people end up in hospital because of it and things like that. But the flip side of that is all the other things. You know, there's mental health. Missing out on opportunities, not being able to do things, you know, there's, you know, obviously not being free to do other things that we normally do in life, you know, routines, habits, hobbies, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, and talking to people that you love on Skype all the time.
Yeah, well, that's true. You won't be able to visit your family and friends. You know, and you try to keep in contact with them.
Yeah.
And also, I think at the moment for us in Victoria, here in Melbourne, in Australia, I think we're doing sort of a personal lockdown.
Yeah, we don't want to go. It has been reported, that some people have just been staying at home because Omicron. So we had a summer of Omicron here in Victoria, and New South Wales is very similar. And some other states around Australia, to a lesser degree, that have had a spike in cases too. But we were seeing very, very high numbers of cases and very high spread of Omicron. And how do you know that it's getting everywhere is when my family gets it.
Oh, no.
Because if my family, my family, we had Omicron, we had a visit from Omicron during January. So about just before mid-January, we all contracted COVID as well. And I've been saying to a few close friends that if it made it to us, that means it's everywhere because we've been pretty careful. You know, we haven't locked ourselves in, but at the same time, you know, we've been only visiting outdoor venues. We've really limited some of the things that we do.
Exactly.
We had a, you know, it wasn't a massive party. About 15 people ish, roughly
people.
At my place. Yeah.
Just
to celebrate that I've gone around the sun 40 years and that Damien has gone around the sun 13 years. He's entered his, teenage years now. And we got unlucky, but that's the possible source because from that day, quite a few people ended up with COVID. So we had an Omicron party, not a birthday party.
Oh, Lindsay. Oh, ouch. Yeah. How are you feeling? Yeah. How are you and your family feeling now, Liz?
Yeah, everyone's good. Mm. Thankfully, the things that we were worried about didn't eventuate. So we were really worried about Alexander because because he's had issues in the past where due to developing asthma that he has, when he's had colds in the past, I've talked about the hospital trips and everything, and, in previous episodes, it wasn't last year, but the year before. And he does, sometimes when he gets a cold, it flares up his asthma. He gets quite sick.
Ooh, yes.
And we have learned to manage it over the years. So it's been less severe, thanks to, help from doctors and, developing asthma plans and having puffers and preventers and all kinds of wonderful medical marvels that we have to help him.
Yeah.
So we're able to mitigate, the illness that he has now. We weren't sure because COVID is an unknown. It's not a cold. It's COVID is a, it's a whole other, disease there.
Exactly.
But thankfully, Alexander, he just for 1 or 2 days, he felt a bit warmer than usual. But his attitude didn't change. When he's sick, if his attitude changes, it's not good.
Exactly.
When he's up, if he's mopey and crying and wants hugs all the time, or if he sleeps unusually during the day, then he's not well. None of that eventuated, thankfully. Just played and it was just being his normal self. Damien, 13-year-old, he had one day where he felt a bit nauseous and wasn't eating properly. Felt a bit warm, feverish, and then he was fine after that. And Isabel and I were miserable. It was like the worst kind of flu that you could have. Hopefully, possibly because we're vaccinated, double vaxxed at the moment anyway. We'll hopefully get our booster soon. I think there were 3 days where we were really unwell. So the way it worked is on the Tuesday of the week that we were sick, I'd been out in our pergola doing some work because I've been digging out all this soil that's between the pathway and the pergola and the fence. There's about 60 centimeters of between the fence. Excuse me. So I've been digging out some soil so I could lay out some really tough weed mats and then put some stones in there, make it look nice. So I'd started that. And I'd worked pretty hard and it was a warm day. So it was, Aussie summer. Now I was undercover, thankfully, but it was still hot. There was still heat and everything.
It was very humid.
Yeah.
Than heat we usually have. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was digging all day and moving lots of soil and, all that kind of stuff, listening to some audiobooks, which was good to pass the time. But I'd been out for pretty much the whole day doing that. So by the end of the day, I was wrecked. I was really
tired,
sore arms, the whole lot, sore body and everything. And the next day I woke up with a rotten headache. I was not feeling good. So Isabel said, I got the lecture. It's like, see, I told you, if you push yourself too hard, you're going to get sick. And that's what happened. So she was giving me that, things like that. I said, I'm so sorry, dear. I thought I was pacing myself. She's like, no, you did it. You did it. I was pretty much miserable all day. But then Isabel was feeling a bit unwell too. And then we started hearing, this person saying, oh, I got COVID. That person saying, all these people over the last couple of days. Because it wasn't just the party. It was the day before the party as well that we'd been with, with someone who had it. It was the day after the party that we'd... So we basically had 3 days of exposure, so we had no chance at all. And it was all close family that we were with. It wasn't, we weren't going out and visiting, anyone else really or anything. Basically, 3 days of just feeling really rotten. We did all the testing and everything, so used rapid tests, and Isabel had a PCR test. There's a whole story to that, which it will just take too long to go into in this podcast. But basically, I was we'd be given a bunch of rapid tests at the testing site, and we got home, and I felt like I became the nurse. I was doing it. I was swabbing everyone. So when we went there, the guy who triaged us said, take these rapid tests home. He said, now when you swab like the tonsils as well, even though the instructions don't say to do it. Swab the tonsils. Yeah.
Oh my goodness, that's right down your throat, isn't it?
Well, yeah, a little bit behind the punching bag. Really? That's my technical term there, the punching bag.
I like that one.
Yeah.
Wow, right down there.
Yeah, Caroline's going to hear this episode and groan.
I know, she'll go, no, yeah. It doesn't look cool like that, guys. Yeah. Oh, Caroline, yes, I know that. We know that.
Look, since I was a kid, I called it the punching bag, so that's what it's going to remain, right?
Yeah, I've never exactly.
Punched it. I've never punched it, but yeah, that's the, yeah. So, I did the kids, I did Isabel, I did myself, I was swabbing everyone, but for three tests, it was just two big, bright, dark lines, two dark lines. Yeah.
Confirmed it.
It's like, this is why we're feeling terrible.
Wow. Yeah. Exactly.
So, I think the symptoms were pretty bad for 3 days. It was just like a really intense flu. And then after that, it started to subside.
Taste and smell?
Yeah, we didn't lose taste or smell. We were okay, thankfully.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So some people have different symptoms.
Mostly headaches, fever, really congested in the head. Like I was down in cold and flu tablets, like you wouldn't believe, to
I can imagine,
suppress
mate.
The symptoms. Because the symptoms are pretty, they got intense for a while. They're pretty ugly.
Ooh, yeah.
I was never worried about it getting worse, but it was just bad for 3 days. Like flus that I've had in the past.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Thankfully it was no worse than that.
Yeah, exactly.
After those 3 days, the symptoms started to subside. And then basically it was just having no energy. So that was the worst part, was the energy levels took, another week to come back. And at this stage, I'm feeling good. I've added some, hopefully it's for a good reason, but I've started taking some multivitamins in the morning just to give me a bit of a kick, because, I actually feel less energy if I don't take them, and that might be psychological. I don't know if it's a placebo thing.
But at the moment,
I just feel like I need them. So
yeah,
I'm just,
working,
yeah.
Use them.
Yeah, I'm also 40, so maybe that's the other reason as well.
I remember back when we were young, we used to take vitamin C tablets before going to school.
Yeah, see, I remember that too, yep.
Do you know that? And it's like,
They were like lollies, it tastes like orange lollies. That was all right,
We took one of them in. No, it worked. And you could probably just get a cold for a day or so, and then you're back to school again, Maybe we'll take that back again, Lindsay.
For
work.
Yeah. And at this point, I should mention, that Caroline is not with us for this episode. So she had COVID as well. Interestingly, she didn't come to the party and she hadn't seen us at all. So we're not sure where she got. And this is the thing. We assume the party or someone else that we saw is the reason, but we just don't know where we got it from. Because some of the people we know who have it, the lines of connection aren't necessarily clear. So the point is that a whole ton of us had it at that time. So exactly. Caroline's doing well. She's recovering. So she's done pretty well, but she just needs some rest at the moment. So she asked if she could take this one off. So we said no problem so that she can rest. Yeah. And apologies to all of our listeners, because we didn't record an episode. We were meant to have an episode out 2 weeks ago, but because Caroline and I were both really sick,
I can't do the podcast on my own, guys. I don't think Dom will let me. Just in case.
Come on, Lena.
If I did it myself, I'll be sound like a radio. Welcome to it.
And lots of He-Man references.
Catholics of Oz.
Coming from Australia. And I'm so lonely.
I'm so lonely.
Yeah.
All those little things. Dom will go, Lena, just no. You can't do that.
But it's good to be back, and we're looking forward to this is the show's fourth year, so the show is now 4 years old. So we're really excited to be to do another year of podcasting for SQPN.
Yes.
And we're so grateful that we've had the opportunity to this point to be able to do this and to be back. And I did miss it. I was very sad that we couldn't record 2 weeks ago and provide that to our listeners. But we're back and we're going to be with you throughout the year. If you've had COVID in the past and you're listening, we're a part of that club. And and I've got to say, and I think anyone who's had it would not wish it on anyone.
No,
and I do hope that you avoid it. But if you do get it, listen to the show, because we're here with you in spiritually, and we're offering our comfort and our prayers for anyone who is ill. And for the numbers of people that have ended up in hospital here in Australia, there's been quite a few.
Yeah, it's been a few
in the Omicron wave. So, So we'll all look out for each other. So let's get this show on the road, Lino.
Yep.
And before we do, just want to remind everyone, first of all, if you've just discovered the show, welcome. Hope you stick around with us. You can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, your favorite podcast player. The show's on Spotify as well. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on your favorite podcast player and some feedback. Spotify allows that now as well. So we've discovered through the network that happens. So if you want to give us a promo on Spotify, we'd love that. So positive feedback helps us to reach new people. And don't forget that SQPN also hosts all of its shows on YouTube. So you can search SQPN on YouTube, subscribe there, hit the bell to get notifications when new episodes are released. And you can also listen to all the other great shows on SQPN as well. And there's some great content. I've been listening to some different, especially while I've been sick, when nothing else to do. So I've been catching up on quite a few shows that I'm behind with. And I've been really enjoying it. I want to throw out a shout out to Secrets of Star Wars this time around, because I've been loving the Boba Fett series, which I'll talk about later on. And their analysis has really helped me to get a little bit deeper into what's going on. And at time of recording, for anyone who knows, who's been watching it, episode 5 was the episode that came out this week. And I can't wait to hear their commentary, because it was amazing, but not for the reasons that anyone would expect. And that's all I'll say, spoiler free. But I'll talk about it more later on. So let's give the people some content. We've got some great things to talk about today. So first of all, let's start with Faith Beyond Borders.
Well, I'm actually feeling rather good about this. I think we've all arrived at a very special place, eh? Oh. Spiritually, ecumenically.
How do you make somebody love you without affecting free will?
Welcome to my world, son. You come up with an answer to that one, you let me know.
Yes, I had to work very hard to pass Latin and theology.
Oh, quite. Those are, of course, the most important things.
Oh, yeah.
I can sit this one out, Cap.
I don't see how I can.
These guys come from legend. They're basically gods.
There's only one god, man. And I'm pretty sure he doesn't dress like that.
So, Lino, this segment, Faith Beyond Borders, we haven't really called it that for a while. Like last year when we got locked down, we just put segments aside.
We segmented aside and
casual format.
Casual formats.
Yeah, now it's time for us to be professional again. Let's.
I just don't have my tie and shirt.
Yeah, that's right. I haven't got my business card here with me or anything. Yeah. Faith Beyond Borders, we like to pick up stories of people who have use their faith beyond the borders of the church. So sharing some examples of evangelization in any way possible. And people that we discuss, they're not perfect. And what I love is that nobody claims to be perfect, but they're just doing their best to serve God in the ways that they possibly can with what they have. So the context of this is that on Australia Day, the 26th of January, I was going to say the 26th of Australia, the 26th of January, they announced the Australian of the Year, and then also there are different categories. Australian of the Year as well.
Exactly.
So first of all, the really cool thing is that the Australian of the Year this year is Dylan Orcott, who is a retiring wheelchair tennis player. So he's won, I think it's about 18 Grand Slams. A whole lot of other tournaments playing, I think they call it quad tennis, but
I think it's quad now.
Yeah, that's what I heard the host calling it. But he unfortunately lost his last match
last
before he retired.
Grand Slam here in Melbourne.
However, he'd been to Canberra, hadn't he? Just that week, just a day or two before, he'd gone to Canberra to be announced as the Australian of the Year.
Yeah.
He obviously had a very busy schedule and everything after that. And then he had to play a final in a Grand Slam.
Yeah.
But it was a good match. His opponent also just a beautiful person. Just the way that they both spoke after the last match. It was a beautiful thing to be able to watch his last ever tennis match. And the things that he said were all amazing. He was just full of gratitude. I think he didn't want to lose, but I don't think that he cares that he lost.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
He was capping off a great career. And just the praise that he had for his opponent and everything. It was wonderful. Yep. So that's really good. So we're gonna have a great year of because what happens then is for a year the Australian of the Year will advocate for their cause. So
exactly,
we had the one of them was a teacher a couple of years ago. I'm mixing his name up now because because it's not James Woo, because James Woo is like a director or an actor or something. But it's
James Woo is he's an actor.
It was I'm going to say Mr. Woo because he's a teacher. I forgot his first name because it's been a few years now. It was pre-lockdown. But, you know, he was a maths teacher who was really passionate, Australian of the Year. So he spent a year promoting teaching and maths and, you know, and he was noticed because he recorded, he was recording his lessons and sharing them out. And it wasn't just his students who were watching them, but it was students around Australia and around the world. So,
awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, he was promoting education, very passionate, also a very Christian man as well, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. Last year was Grace Tame, and she was an advocate for women. Especially women who were survivors of sexual assault, and so she
was bringing domestic violence.
Not domestic violence. This was more to do with with abuse. Her story was that she had been abused by a teacher. Unfortunately, you know, that's a heartbreaking thing for me being in the profession. But she'd been taken advantage of, and she was she spent a year challenging the silence around. All kinds of abuse of women. So obviously a really important message to share. And this year it's going to be, Dylan Alcott's going to be advocating for people with disabilities, which is great. So that's, someone said, oh, maybe we should make him prime minister. And someone else noted, we actually don't have, you know, ramps and disability access to Parliament House, you know, like,
oh,
so
wow.
There you go. Okay. Like to the chambers, where all the action happens. But then again, who'd want access to question time anyways, to be honest?
I'm surprised because they were the ones, the Parliament and the government were trying to advocate and make the laneways and walkways all disability access
accessible
areas.
And there's a lot of work that's been done. A lot of work has been done, but he'll highlight where there's more. You know, he's already said how about free rapid antigen tests for people with disabilities? Why hasn't that happened? He's already jumped on that cause. So he's already using his voice. The thing is, he's a very positive person. He's got a very positive voice. That kind of friendly personality that you want to listen to him and hear what he has to say. So he'll be a powerful advocate for disability, and I think that's great.
Exactly, you will.
Yeah, another story I want to tell though, Lino, is that like I said, there are other categories of Australian of the Year. So it's not just one person. There's one main person, and there are the other people who are noticed for their efforts as well. Yep. So Dr. Daniel Noor is a Coptic Christian Catholic. I hope I said that correctly. But he was announced as the New South Wales Young Australian of the Year. And they call the headline from the Catholic Weekly is "Want Faith? Go to the Homeless," says Doctor of the Streets. So let's talk about his story very quickly. So it says here that to find faith, look to the homeless. That's what Daniel Noor, the 26-year-old doctor and New South Wales Young Australian of the Year, has found since he launched Streetside Medics. So Streetside Medics' four vans are staffed by almost 150 volunteers and take free medical services to the homeless across New South Wales. And so while he has been recognized as the 2022 New South Wales Young Australian of the Year, his own motivation for service is his relationship with God. My views are very much based around my faith, I'd say. His motivation for what he's doing is his faith, which is why he's the topic of our Faith Beyond Borders today. So he said, in our society, we feel a little bit shy or embarrassed to say, I'm a strong Christian. Maybe someone will ridicule you for that. In the homeless population, it's very different. Many of them are really faith-driven. They always talk about God. I really need God's help. I really need God's strength. Or they'll say, I've stopped drinking thanks to God. It's all Him. So Side Streets Medics is a blessing for many homeless people with conditions ranging from diabetes to heart disease that might go undiagnosed otherwise and untreated. So some of his patients come seeking treatment for chronic conditions of the soul as well as the body. And he said, I've seen a few people who have come in with a lot of guilt or they've lost hope. Basically what he's done is he's used his gift of medicine. So obviously he's a full-time doctor as well. But he started this volunteer program to go to the streets and help people who are experiencing homelessness with their medical conditions and also helping them to find conditions that may have gone undiagnosed if they hadn't sought help. But it's not just that. he's also because it's a relational thing, there's striking up conversations and they're talking about their lives and they're finding a bit of spiritual healing through that relationship as well. Mm. And we've talked about it before, and how important is it that if we want to provide spiritual healing, we need to listen to people. And he's out there doing that. He's listening. We don't necessarily have the answers when people say, I've done this, I've done that. But, you know, being there to listen is such an important part of that that process. Pope Francis has been on about this. Pope Francis is not the first one to say it, but he's re-emphasized out the need for us to listen. But such an important thing. Look at confession as a model. What happens? We talk and the priest listens.
Yeah, exactly.
And really, you know how sometimes a priest will provide some spiritual guidance. Mm. They don't even have to do that in confession. They simply, their job is to listen and provide, and to give God's absolution. Jesus acts through the priest. But it's great, obviously I like it when the priest says, try doing this, try doing that, and sometimes I'll offer encouragement. I say, don't give up, don't beat yourself up so much, things like that. I remember I copped a humbling from a priest in Rome once. In 2016, we went on holidays and we're at the Vatican, and it was during the Year of Mercy. And I thought, they're offering confession, might as well go. Yeah. And so, I went and did confession, and the priest, he didn't tell me off, but he's like, you need to rethink the way you're talking about this because you're too hard on yourself. And that was, So, things like that, they offer things like that. Mm-hmm. So that's a model, I think, of what he's not offering confessions, but what he's doing is he's offering a service. Without an agenda, to put his faith into action. Mm-hmm. And one of the great, flow-on effects of that is that people are not just receiving healing for their medical conditions or support for their medical conditions, but they're receiving spiritual help as well, which is beautiful. He said one of his patients, a lady in her 50s, who had been rough sleeping for 7 years after losing her family savings through gambling, came to the clinic in Manly. He said she felt so guilty that she left her family. She was just heartbroken. I was driving her to hospital because she had a really bad wound that had probably infected her bone.
Ooh,
yeah. The drive over there, we were talking and I said, you've got to forgive yourself. And she was in tears. And I'm trying not to go in tears hearing that. You know what I mean? Like this. If he hadn't put his faith into action, she wouldn't have had that conversation with him.
Yeah.
And isn't that amazing? That this is the simplicity of being a Christian is... we talk about how do I evangelize. You don't need to start a massive program. You don't need to start, you don't need to have spend millions of dollars or whatever. You simply just need to go out and talk to people.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And not talk over people, but listen like he's done. And he just had, she's obviously told her story and he's provided her this one sentence which she needed to hear. This is God acting through our good works. So he asked her on that drive if she had faith, and she replied that she was a Roman Catholic who used to attend weekly mass. Mm. And he said just reminding her about her faith, which she believes, alleviated her anxiety a lot and then started to give her confidence to forgive herself. Mm. We had that conversation 4, 5, 6 times and read the Bible together a few times as well. Mm. So he said that she's now living in stable housing, working pretty much full time, and has seen marked improvements in her mental and physical health.
Mm.
It was just reminding her of what she knew rather than teaching her what she didn't.
She didn't.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm.
Yeah. And there's a beautiful photo of the two of them here as well. In the article. He likens it to the washing of the feet. Which is great, that act of service.
Exactly.
Given you example that you should also do that, that beautiful line from Jesus about how our faith is an act of service. It's loving God, glorifying God, and loving our neighbor. That's the essence of how to live out faith.
Exactly.
He said, I must admit, I'm not the greatest Christian, but Street Side Medics gives me the ability to walk the walk. I rarely read my Bible. I try. I rarely pray and was never big on fasting. I go to church, but I'm often distracted. So I'm not a good Christian, but I've always grown up in the church. My parents serve the community. My mum is quite religious. That happens to a lot of us. it always struck me, the story of Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. If God washes the feet of his disciples, the least we can do is take care of our homeless. Mm. And there's more to read, and I'll put that in the show notes for our for you as our listeners to read as well. But Lino, what did you think of Daniel Noor's story yourself?
Yeah, that's a great vocation. Vocation he has.
Our vocation is what we feel called to by God. It can be a priestly vocation, you know, like an ordained vocation, or it can simply be where we feel our lives. It could be a married vocation. What we feel and sense through prayer and discernment. God is placing for us as the mission of our lives.
Exactly.
Or the missions of our lives. What mission is God putting for before us? Because that mission is being sent, isn't it? The whole idea is what is God sending me out to do at this particular time in my life? So absolutely. I'd call it a vocation for sure.
Yeah, it's, and also I think it sort of reminds me when we were doing it back in our youth group days. We went to do these soup vans things. I think we did a couple of times. We did the soup kitchens. Like, actually went to the actual kitchen.
Yes. Yep.
And we served the homeless there, and it's a real eye opener, and it really shows you the different. The different sides of society, but you know, for us, it's like we got jobs, we got a house, blah blah blah. But these people don't, and for us to come and help and just to be there, and also like you said. To listen to them, and listen to what they have to say, what to listen to. It's amazing, you know. And it's great what he's doing. And through his faith, that's great. Oh yeah, I'm amazed.
Yeah, you know, years ago now, it'd have been 2011, 12, around that time, I used to support the soup van at my school. I still support it, but I used to actually go to it. That's what I'm saying.
I used to
do that. And I think I even took your wife Bernadette on one as well.
I think so. She came
with us. Yeah. So what happened was we used to take students to, so we used to go to Footscray. My school has a local soup van now, which serves the local area, which is good.
Cool. Yep,
But in the past, I was in a group called Raymar, which was like a student faith and service development model where students, they join this group with you. It's almost like having your own youth group for 3 years. So from year 10, year 11, year 12, and they take the journey all the way through. And one of the aspects is putting your faith into service. And so we used to take students to. We built up a relationship with the St. Vincent de Paul Footscray soup van.
That's right, St. Vinny's.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So on a Friday night, we'd go up to Footscray and help do the rounds there. I got to drive the minibus a couple of times. But the thing is, there was a spot where people knew that they could go. It was like an oval in Footscray, like a footy oval.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
We parked there, and then people, you know, at the appointed time, people would know to come and get things they need. So, you know, we gave out, you know, we'd be giving out milk, we'd be feeding people, just having soup with them there and having a chat and things like that.
Yeah.
And at one point, I remember it was the middle of winter and it was cold, and we gave blankets. And there was this one lady, she was there on her own, but she had a daughter. And she was talking about how she needed blankets for her daughter. And she was like, she was in tears. Like, I feel really emotional talking about this because I couldn't believe it. And she gave me the biggest hug, you know what I mean? Like thanking me. And I felt like I did nothing. I just turned up, to be honest. The blankets were already there and I handed to her. But it meant the world to her.
It meant the world to her.
And it was one of the best hugs I ever received. I didn't do it for the hugs. But the amount of gratitude she had for this simple act. You know,
this is
the healing power of putting faith into action, I think.
Exactly.
It can help people spiritually. Obviously, it helps people physically. It reminds people who are in the direst of circumstances that there is good in the world. And that they can participate in that good as well. After I spoke to her, I literally, and I still remember this, I walked around to the other side of the van and had a bit of a cry. And two of the students like, are you okay? I said, go away. I'm fine. Yeah, like, you're okay. I'm all right. I'm not crying. You're crying. Go away. But it was amazing. And I remember, yeah, there was one time where I went, but the students had to pull out because they had different, you know, a couple of different things happened. So some of we had three students that were meant to come and they had to pull out. And I took your wife, Bernadette, and Priscilla, so Jared's wife as well. And I remember afterwards just the conversation we were having about it. It's a very eye-opening experience. And we're going to talk about New Year's resolutions in a minute. But I would say to anyone, if you get an opportunity to volunteer anywhere that serves the poor, have a go. And not just to give people things, but to get into conversations with people who experience homelessness.
Exactly.
And to listen. Because your simple act, you're giving up 3 or 4 hours here and there, can be such a healing moment for people who need it, who need physical help and who need spiritual help. And you don't have to Bible bash anyone. It's like I said, that spiritual help is just listening.
It's just listening, like you said. Yeah. They just want to talk to you.
They just want to talk. They just want someone to listen to them.
They just want
to know that they can form a relationship with you, even if it's just for that night. And it's such a healing activity, and it's just something that shows our faith at its best.
Exactly.
Because I love God, I'm going to love my neighbor.
Exactly.
Because God is so good, because God loves me so much, I just want that love to be visible, to radiate from me into other people as well. And if I can be God's instrument in doing that, then sign me up, count me in. And that's what I think is so beautiful about it. And this is something also, by the way, not just for people who experience homelessness, do this in your home. Do it with your wife or your husband or your kids, do it with your other family members, do it with your friends. You can radiate God's love just by,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I could rant on about this forever.
That's good. The homeless, we say, is that they want to say something and they want people to listen to them.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, I've done it. I must admit, I've done it. I've walked by them, and majority of the time they are asleep during the day.
Yes, yeah.
And
yeah.
Underneath the blankets and everything. I don't know, it's rude for, to poke them and say, hello, do you want to talk?
Of course. You wouldn't do that to anyone else, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. So it's like, but then you get them, we Bernadette and I see them just sitting there, even some of them busking. I want to say buskers are homeless, but you notice that these people have had a hardened life, and a few dollars and how much you want to give, and everything. But majority of the time, they just want someone to listen to do what they have, what they say. Yeah.
Relationship. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. That's all they want to say. Just want to, like a kind ear.
Yeah.
And just to blurt out, like I said, just to rant.
Yep.
Or talk about anything, and they're like, "That's fine. It's just what they need."
Yeah. Well, let's use that to taper off into our next part of Faith Beyond Borders. So I thought we talk about New Year's resolutions, and straight away when you say it, people go, "Oh, goodbye, switch off." It's true though, because sometimes New Year's resolutions can be hard. Sometimes we make too many and we can't do them all. Sometimes we just make one that's too hard.
It's so expensive.
It's so expensive. Yeah, is that too? Yeah.
Lose weight. Yeah. Buy this. Trying to lose weight. Yeah,
but what if we stripped it down to the simplicity? If you want to make a resolution about exercise and sleep and, not using your phone, go ahead, do that. That's important, right? But what if we stripped it down to the spiritual simplicities, as well, the important thing? And so I found this great one. So it says the editors at the Jesuit Review mined the words of Pope Francis during 2021. So they reviewed things that Pope Francis said in 2021. And being our spiritual father, the Pope, we want to listen and see what he has to say in his wisdom as well. And they developed 8 New Year's resolutions based on things that he said. So I'll share the link to this website. It's called Friar Musings. So I'll share that in our show notes. But I'll just whip through this really quickly. So the first one, surprise, surprise, volunteer for a local charity or nonprofit. There it is. All right, go and meet people on the margins. Volunteer. I won't explain it because you and I have just spent a whole, almost half an hour talking about it. Yeah, that's a really good one.
Yeah, volunteer. Why not? Whatever the charity or nonprofit place. Yeah.
Yeah.
Try that out.
Yep. Number 2, stop judging others. So, So judging and gossiping about those around us, Pope Francis said, is so easy to do that we fall into it without thinking. So the Pope offered a challenge, an alternative. He said, instead, look at yourself. With this shift in perspective, he suggests we might discover something important. It is good to ask ourselves what drives us to correct a brother or sister, and if we are not in the same way co-responsible for their mistake. So instead of nitpicking our neighbors, let's be honest with ourselves and about our own shortcomings and make space for compassion instead of criticism. Beautiful.
Yep.
Nice and easy. Yep. All right. So, Lena, I promise to stop judging you from now on. Okay.
Oh, Lindsay, I don't ever judge you, man.
Sure.
Holiday.
I'm judging you right now. But so true. It's very easy to criticize, you know. So, I mean, we can critique, which is important. You know, this isn't working because blah, 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 blah. Let's make it better. That's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but criticism for its own sake, what does it solve? It doesn't solve anything.
Nothing much.
And you only need to, you know, go online and look at the negativity to see that criticism is not working.
It's horrible out there.
To be honest, to everyone who's listening, you could be such a prophet just by being more positive online than negative. Think about that too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Can't be.
Yep. Take scripture to heart. So important, isn't it, to have a biblical faith as much as we possibly can. This is one I need to challenge myself because I do read scripture, but I need to, you know, make it less than random or more than random, you know, amount of reading. Yeah. So in an audience on January 27th, he said, take the right approach to scripture. Be careful, though, that you don't annoy people. And he said, it irritates me a little when I hear Christians who recite verses from the Bible like parrots. of course, yeah, he wasn't discouraging reading the Bible, but quite the opposite. What he was expressing was a frustration with the approach to scripture that focus simply on just rote memorizing. So basically just memorizing
phrases,
and then throwing them at people rather than sort of focusing on that personal encounter. There are ways we can approach talking to people. We can, you know, someone could say, I've got this problem. And you could say, well, Jesus says this, this, and this. And is that the most helpful thing?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Unless a person says, what does Jesus say? You know, but the thing is, what if everything that Jesus said informed the way that you spoke to someone instead? Daniel Noor, all right, washing people's feet, you know, that, you know, he's taken the washing of the feet and applied it with his hands, you know, like, and with his words. So there are ways into a conversation, but rather than just Bible bashing people, as we call it, which doesn't necessarily help, it actually drives people away as well.
And a little bit, it does. Yeah.
So it says here, his words remind us that sacred scripture is alive, that it speaks to us on an individual basis. God speaks to us through scripture. We've got to remember this as well. It's not a book of words. Mm-hmm. You know, these words are divinely inspired so that the people who wrote them wrote about their understanding of God in their context, in the place that they were, to an audience of people who needed to hear the message of God in it because of what they were going through. And so this is God speaking to us today. And when we discern scripture, we think, what were the authors saying that the people that they wrote to needed to hear about God and from God in that time? And what does it say to us now? And how does scripture disturb us now so that we can change? Because I think that scripture, we shouldn't look at it as a book of nice things. I think of it more as a book of things that should challenge us and shake us and make us uncomfortable. Scripture, in a sense, should be like a mirror where you look into it and you think, am I living up to what God has asked me to live up to? And the answer is usually no. But you know what I mean? Like, but what can I do? What little things can I do this year to try, you know, to change rather than doing the same thing over and over again and failing?
What can I do
just to be that little bit more successful and grow in my relationship with God through scripture? And serve his people. As Pope Francis says here, the word of God infused with the Holy Spirit, when it is received with an open heart, does not leave things as they were before. Never. Beautiful. All right. There you go. Those are words of wisdom to throw in there.
Yep.
All right, Lino, take one concrete step to become more environmentally conscious and start now. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Well, buy a hybrid car?
Yes. Yeah, okay, we talked about not having the expensive ones. Yeah. I mean, that might do a little bit. Yeah. And the thing is, so sometimes people hear environment as well. They're going, oh, he's going on about the environment again. But why should we be environmentally conscious? This is the thing. And I think it's important to remember two things. First of all, the earth is God's creation.
Exactly.
And theologically, and you can look this up in the catechism as well. I forgot the reference. Don't ask me. I'm bad with numbers. But we are co-creators with God. So God continues the act of creation through us. Creation didn't stop with what you read in Genesis. Creation continues. And we are now acting in God's creation, God's earth, to continue. We're stewards of God's earth. Stewardship, again, is our role. The catechism talks about our stewardship of the earth. To keep it and till it. And why would we do that? In one sense, the earth is a sign of God's love for us. So we want to look after it and make sure that, you know, that it remains beautiful.
Exactly.
And the other thing as well is if the earth, you know, if we pollute and destroy, we take away people's ability to live.
Exactly.
You know, think of where rivers have become so polluted that people can't survive, you know, through fishing those rivers, or think of where, you know, big corporations have overfished, you know, parts of the oceans, you know, and made it unsustainable.
Exactly.
You know, think of our coral reef in Great Barrier Reef, which goes through bleaching every year because of climate change, you know, things like that.
It's horrible when you look at it. Yeah.
Yeah. Things, you know, all those things. Think of the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, which is a part of the Pacific Ocean, which is just full of microplastics, like tons and tons, millions of tons of microplastics, which come from people throwing things out and rubbish going through waterways and ending up in the oceans, you know, and that again harms marine life and biodiversity is such an important thing. And if we affect one part of the chain of biodiversity, it can have a flow on effect, you know, to everything else and to us.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, pollution, carbon pollution, all these things that we should, that we can do things about. So yes, by becoming more environmentally conscious, we are honoring the beauty of God's creation, and we are also looking after our brothers and sisters as well around the world. So there's things to think about there. Pray every day, even when it's hard.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. What do you think about that one, Lino? Pray every day.
Yeah, pray every day. That's something I have to get back into. but I should be doing it every day. You know, get not a habit, but get in that time and effort. Trying to get that time to pray.
Yeah.
You know, and definitely with your family and friends. And I think we definitely need to do it whatever this COVID thing, you know, everything's happening. Just to bring that faith back in again.
Yeah.
Just need to find some prayer. It doesn't have to be. I know people do the rosary. That is absolutely fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if it just needs to be just to say a prayer from your heart and soul to each other, why not?
Yeah. Lovely. He says praying is not something easy, and that's why we flee from it. Pope Francis says.
Every time
we want to pray, we are immediately reminded of many other activities, which at the moment seem more important and more urgent.
Yeah.
And he says, this happens to me too. But he said, true progress in spiritual life does not come from, having multiple ecstasies, you know, but being able to persevere in difficult times. Walk on. And if you are tired, stop a bit and then start walking again. If you are feeling discouraged about your progress in prayer, know that Pope Francis is struggling right there with you, and don't give up. Prayer is our communication with God. It's our primary relationship with God.
Exactly.
And the other the importance of prayer is that prayer inspires action. We talked about putting our faith into action. Prayer helps us discern the actions that God wants us to, to do in the world as well.
Exactly.
Yep. Number six, let go of a grudge or two.
Woo.
Grudge. There you go. Yep. Ooh. I don't think I have any. I'm one of those people that hasn't really had grudges against anyone.
Not a grudge.
Yeah.
Look, I think I wouldn't say connection with grudge with forgiveness.
Yeah.
And, we get the good old, what is it, saying, forgive and forget. You know, definitely forgive and then forget. That's the harder part.
Oh, forgetting is the hard part for sure, yeah.
Yeah, forgetting. But then I think once you got the forgiveness sorted out and then forgetting,
yeah,
sort it out. And I think could be a topic we could talk about, Liz, but forgive and forgetting.
Yeah,
you know, I think we've talked about it before, but
we have talked about forgiveness in different contexts. Yeah,
contexts.
Actually, this time last year we did a big episode on forgiveness. So
exactly, I think it was
January's episode last year. Right, there you go, forgiveness. Yeah. So he's basically advising that we don't end the day angry.
Well, definitely not. No. Yeah,
if you've found yourself sniping at your spouse or being short with your close friends, he said, "Listen to me well. Never finish the day without making peace. We fought. My God, I said bad words. I said awful things. But now to finish the day, I must make peace." And it says here, you know why? Because the Cold War the next day is very dangerous.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the idea of, you know, waking up and just being bitter with each other because you had a bad, you know, an argument or whatever.
It is hard with your partner, different with your partner. You know, I've heard a phrase, never go to bed angry.
Yeah, I'm sure St. Paul said something about never finishing the day, never letting the sun go down, being angry with someone.
Exactly.
So whether it's a caress on your husband or wife's cheek, as the Pope suggested, or a conciliatory text to a friend, do not let the today's grudges fester till the morning.
So exactly.
Good one.
Yeah.
I love this one. Get off Twitter. I'm not going to
have it. I'm sorry, Liz.
No, that's good. No, good. Yeah. So after the pandemic moved much of our lives online, YouTube masses, Zoom happy hours, untold hours of COVID doom scrolling on Twitter, you might be ready for a social media cleanse in 2022. Pope Francis has repeatedly urged people to get off their smartphones and to start communicating in person. This year, in a message to journalists, he warned of the tyranny of always being online. Listening always goes hand in hand with seeing, with being present. Certain nuances, sensations, and well-rounded descriptions can only be conveyed to readers, listeners, spectators if the journalist has listened and seen for him or herself. This means escaping, and I know how difficult this is in your work, escaping from the tyranny of always being online, on social networks, on the web. So even if you're not a journalist, you can take a page from our very offline Pope and make 2022 a year filled with IRL conversation and friendship. IRL.
Okay. I'm going to talk to your brother Paul about what IRL stands for.
There should be. All right. Okay. Dom, I know you're listening. Yes. I know you're going to edit this, and you're the secrets of technology host. I'm throwing it over to you, and next time we'll tell everyone what it is. All right. So, you know what? I feel ignorant that I don't know what that is.
I've never gone into that sort of side of it.
All right. Okay. But that's all right, because no one's going to judge us. So
That's true.
And number 8.
Wow.
Call your loved ones regularly and truly listen to them. When was the last time we visited or telephoned an elderly person in order to show our closeness and to benefit from what they have to tell us? That was his question in his homily for the World Day for Grandparents and Elderly last year on July 26th. Few groups have been more profoundly affected by the pandemic than our elders. Now that vaccines and boosters have made it possible to safely visit them, what if you took this year to listen or to even record their stories and wisdom? So he said, "Let us not lose the memory preserved by the elderly, for we are children of that history, and without roots, we will wither. They protected us as we grew, and now it's up to us to protect their lives, to alleviate their difficulties, to attend to their needs, and to assure that they are helped in daily life and not feel alone." Beautiful.
Yep.
So there we have it. 8 New Year's resolutions. They're simple. They're spiritual. They are love God and love your neighbor and put your faith in, you know, they are Daniel Noor, what we just, you know, young Australian of the Year in New South Wales.
Definitely.
Yeah. Any thoughts before we move on?
Just recapping on the Twitter thing. Okay. I was on Facebook, looking at Facebook, and I saw like a caption with different generations, and there's one generation, just probably us, Linz, back in the 80s and 90s. They're just playing in a swimming pool, not a swimming pool, near a river, getting dirty, getting, you know, having fun. In the other caption, all these kids just looking at their phones. And it says, God I was born in this generation, whichever generation the person was born in, probably in the 1990s. And it's true. Look, I've done it. I'm not saying, you know, secrets of technology, we'll sort of agree that technology has improved Yeah, it has let us do things that we have been doing for years. But I think what Pope Francis is trying to say is just put it down.
Yeah.
Have some time for yourself. And like we'll talk about being listening, you know, have a chat with someone and listen to them.
Yeah.
You know, they just want to have a chat and be with you. So, yeah, maybe it's just the time to put it down for a little bit. If it's being immobile, you can have these notifications, thousands of them.
Yeah.
And everything coming across, you just need to ignore them. If it's your mum or dad or your family member, just have a look, yeah?
Yeah,
have
a look at those, yeah. They're okay,
Don't think, I'll ignore that. Wait a minute, whoa, what was happening? Okay, sometimes you just need to put it down and chill out.
Absolutely.
And with the call your loved ones, that has been so important during this pandemic.
Yeah.
It's good just to keep in touch, you know, with our mums and dads and grandparents and our aunties and uncles, everyone.
Yeah.
If there's someone elderly you know, it's great to just have a, you know, one-on-one
reach out.
Reach out. I got right. That song in my head now.
Reach
out and touch somebody. what's it? Sorry. I think during the pandemic, it was very important for us to have that contact because a lot of people are either lonely, don't have a lot of family here in different countries, in Australia or wherever you live. They just want that contact.
Yes, absolutely.
Definitely do that, guys.
And remember what Pope Francis said about the wisdom we can gain from listening to our elders as well.
Exactly, wisdom. Yeah. Even though we always say that back in my days, we could do that. look, it's understandable. You know, yes. I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. We'll be doing it, Liz. You know, we'll be doing it.
Oh, for sure. I'm only doing it with my sons. Yeah, right. So we didn't have phones when I was. Yeah, you know,
back in our days, like, we were able to climb a tree without falling off.
Look, the internet was steam powered when I was young. You know?
Exactly. It was just like one cable thing. Well, we use one cable, but you know what I mean. It's fast.
It took 5 years for Google to load when I was young.
Exactly. They just want a year and someone to listen to. Yeah.
And for those who are listening, what are your New Year's resolutions, spiritual, not spiritual? Let us know because I need a couple more as well. So give me some advice. All right. Well, let's move on. And we're now going to talk about some science.
Ah, what a fine day for science.
Do you have any hobbies?
I collect spores, molds, and fungus.
Can you reverse the polarity?
I'll do my best.
Science.
Yeah, I like science. All right, Leno. Here we go.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm always worried when it comes to talking about science without Caroline.
I know. Caroline, you know, encourages us and says, that's great things. But I know in her mind, she'll go, boys, what have you done to the science section?
What have we done to it?
What have you done?
Yes.
I know we love you, Caroline, and you love us. We love you, Matt.
I'm going to stick with something that we're comfortable with, and that's space news. And,
cool. Yes, you just.
Actually, an event that I was really, really excited about that happened, started on Christmas night here in Australia. So it was just before midnight here in Australia, Christmas night. And I thought it was great. And it was the launch of the James Webb Space Telescope.
Hold on. I must admit, it does look like a very big honeycomb.
It does. Yeah. Like the mirror. Yeah. It's a massive mirror.
It's so cool.
Yeah. Is it 6.5 meters mirror? The mirror is, which is six times. That was my first talking point there. Six times the size of the mirror of the Hubble Space Telescope.
Wow.
So this thing is a beast.
It is.
The solar sail or the solar covering there is the size of a tennis court. This is the sun shield.
Goodness me.
Yeah, which keeps all the equipment really cool. This is a really serious telescope, and one that I think, this is my big call for the year, that we should pay a lot of attention to, because this is going to open up discoveries and new scientific knowledge that humanity has not encountered before. It's going to deepen our understanding of the, literally deepen our understanding of the universe. And so I just wanted to share some really interesting things and then leave some resources that people can do some further research of their own on. So a couple of things. So first of all, I've talked about the size of the mirror. So the mirror is this sort of gold-coated mirror made of sort of hexagonal shapes. all put together, and it makes a 6.5 meter sized mirror to enhance the imagery that they can collect. And each of those mirrors have little motors behind them so they can be adjusted. So it's not one giant mirror that with one movement. It's when all it's all put together, it is one giant mirror, but each of those sections of it can be adjusted slightly as well where needed. So what the James Webb telescope can do is detect light from galaxies which have formed 13.5 billion years ago. So,
oh my goodness me!
And here's the here's the kicker. This is only 300 million years after the Big Bang. So that's a long time, but in the age of the universe, that's nothing. Like that's really young.
Well, true.
No, it's not nothing. It's very young.
Yeah.
So if the universe is 13.5 billion years old, and we're going to be able to see the light from galaxies that are only 300 million years after the Big Bang, that's massive. Like that's this is very, very early. People have talked about this being able to look into the past, you know, the young universe.
Wow.
So there are lots of discoveries there. So some of the questions it wants to address is, how did early galaxies form? So to be able to look at the formation of galaxies from a long time ago, are there chemical building blocks in the atmospheres of other planets? So to be able to detect those as well.
Yep.
And is our solar system unique, or are there solar systems like ours? So these are really important questions to answer.
Mm.
As we know, and so Lino, we were you and myself and Jared's families. Remember, we went to a little place called Lurg.
Over the
holidays, pre getting COVID.
Yeah.
We hired a holiday house there for almost a week.
Nice place.
And
awesome.
Do you remember
place.
That night we went stargazing?
Oh my goodness.
And there's no light pollution because there's no street lights,
and everything.
It's pitch black outside because we were in the middle of a rural property and, you know, there's no street lights or anything. Farmland everywhere as far as the eye could see where we were.
Exactly.
And when we all looked into the night sky,
oh my goodness
it was so populated with stars. And galaxies, and it was amazing to look at. It was just so stunningly beautiful. It was.
And
you could just notice the detail of the night sky so much more than if you from your backyard.
Exactly, it was.
And we were talking about, we had a conversation that the light that we were looking at is from the past. It's where those stars and galaxies and everything were possibly millions of years ago, depending on how long it takes for the light of that star to reach
us.
Yeah, exactly. Like traveling at light speed and all that. So the James Webb Telescope is going to be looking at galaxies. This way it can look into the past, as it's described. It's going to look at the light from galaxies as they were, billions of years ago. Now, Caroline can explain this better, but this is based on the idea of redshift, and I'm not going to explain it because it confuses me. I'll leave it to Caroline. So, Caroline, make a mental note to explain redshift to our. But the idea of seeing light from an object, from those millions or billions of years ago, because of how long it takes for that light to reach, our eyes, the Earth, the telescope, whatever.
Exactly.
So those are the fundamental questions going to explore. I love this one about, is our solar system unique? Because I watched this great documentary on other solar systems and exoplanets and things like that. Mm. And our one is unique in the sense that apparently our Jupiter is in the wrong place compared to where the Jupiter-like planets of others solar systems are. So generally, and you can Google this, everyone, this is a true thing.
Whoa.
The Jupiter-like planets in other solar systems are actually the first planet after the star, you know, the sun of that solar system.
Oh,
and they call them hot Jupiters because they orbit closely and they spin very fast.
Spin fast.
So
yeah.
They call them hot Jupiters because they're closer. So our Jupiter is in the wrong place or is not in the same place that's found commonly in other solar systems. Yeah. And I know I'm explaining that in a very basic way because there's a lot more science behind that.
But it
makes us unique. And Jupiter actually in our solar system protects us from a lot of the space junk and the rocks and everything that could potentially collide with Earth.
Earth. It's
Someone described it as like a vacuum cleaner for our solar system in one sense.
Yeah,
that's a really important question. So Are there solar systems that are similar to ours somewhere out there in our galaxy and beyond our galaxy as well? Now, the James Webb Telescope was too big to fit into the standard fairing of any rocket. So it because of the size of a tennis court when it's completely unfolded, there's no way you could store it in a rocket. Yeah. You know, the fairing of those two covers at the top of a rocket where you put your payload and then open and deploy and whatever else.
Exactly.
So it's not going to fit anywhere. So they basically designed it to fold up like an origami, you know, inside by origami. Yeah. So
I've got to say,
thousands of engineers from the United States, Canada, and Europe worked on this and on the different components and everything. Mm-hmm. And the unfolding and opening up after it was launched was a engineering marvel, because lots of little bits and pieces had to move around, and you know, and lots of components had to open and unfold and assemble. And as each time this happened, it would take hours.
Yeah, definitely.
If you're here on Earth, you could use your hands and just fold something open, done, right? But because it's hurtling away from the Earth, and we're not going to be able to send anyone to repair it if something goes wrong.
Exactly.
They had to go through this process of getting it ready so meticulously. And in fact, the James Webb Telescope, the design started in 1996.
Whoa, so, what's that?
So we're at, was it 25 years?
Wow.
Is that right? Someone else can maths me on that. That's why we need Jared. He's the maths guy in this group. About 25 years. Yeah, to go from
years.
Design to build,
design to, build.
Yeah, to testing and launch. Yeah. So, So it was designed to fold up and fit into the fairing of the European Space Agency's Ariane 5 rocket, which is like a heavy-duty lifting rocket. An amazing rocket to watch its launch.
Cool.
This thing is massive. It's powerful, and it just shoots off the ground. It's like it's got no time to be on the ground. It wants to get to space. It's,
cool.
Yeah.
Whoa, wow.
And so the launch apparently was so successful as well that it was placed perfectly into Earth's, you know, into Earth's orbit to leave the orbit and head out into further into our solar system. It was so perfectly placed that the engines weren't really needed for massive corrections.
Oh,
that,
cool.
That the telescope will now go way beyond the 10 years that, 10
years.
That was expected at its lifespan.
Wow.
So it will be able to stay in its orbit, and I'll talk about the orbit later on, well beyond what was expected. So they'll be able to collect lots of science for a lot longer, which is awesome. And 10 years really, you know, when you think about it, is not a long time in research. Yeah. Mm. Because, you know, the universe is so big, you know what
massive. It would take, a lot more longer than that.
Yep. So go on. Yep.
I was about to say, Liz, that can you imagine that you've been working 25 years on this project? Mm. Well, that is if you've been in that job for 25 years.
Yeah.
And I would be so teary.
Yeah, I would too. I'd be celebrating like crazy.
Celebrating crazy, seeing this thing fly up in the air, able to find out a lot of information about the universe.
Yeah.
And it's able to, you can imagine that you've done all the drawings, all the technical things, and making sure this thing unfolds properly.
Millions of hours of design and preparation.
Building, and then you find out that you go up there, and it's perfect. He doesn't have to, what do you call it? The rocket's lens? He didn't have to adjust.
No,
it's
perfectly
to go.
Placed
perfect
where
placed.
It needs to be, yeah.
And boom, and it's gone. Yep. And it's like saying goodbye to, well, not goodbye, but saying good luck to a...
it's like one of your children in a sense.
Exactly, I was about to say that. Yeah,
if you were there from the start to the end of that process, it's like sending a child away. Yeah, into the world.
Into the
universe.
Into the universe. Out of space. Yeah. Out of space.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. We'll see how the James Webb, I'm assuming that's the guy who actually really designed the thing.
Now,
no?
I should have done some research beforehand, but James Webb was a space scientist. And I'll get Caroline to fill in the gaps in the next episode.
Okay, sorry,
too. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, I didn't do my research. I probably should have done my research on the naming, but I'd planned to talk more about the satellite than its history. But
cool.
Yeah, the telescope. But we'll fill that in a future episode. So it took 3 weeks for it to unfold and open up completely.
Definitely.
And that was all done remotely. So they had to unfold, you know, send all the signals for it to do this, to do that. And to make sure it works. So I'll just go through the process of the opening up very, very quickly. So we were fortunate enough to see this one in the live launch, which was cool. 31 minutes after it was launched, the solar array deployed. They like opened up, so you could actually see it. The telescope moves away, and you could see the footage, and it's beautiful footage. And then and then in that same moment, as it was moving away from being deployed, the solar array opened up, which was really good to see.
Cool.
2 hours later, the high gain antenna deployed, and then on the third day, the sunshield pallet extended. So the sunshield pallet is like the surface that the sun that's used to stretch and tension the sunshield.
Yeah.
So that it's like a frame for it. So that opened up.
Cool.
After 4 days, the tower assembly deployed, and so this is the middle section where the mirror is folded up. So it extended, basically, it moved up. So that had to happen. So that eventually the mirror could completely open up.
Completely fold.
So after 5 days, the momentum flap. So there's like a flap on one of the far ends of the telescope deployed successfully, and then the sunshield membrane opened up as well. So this was like the cover to so the sunshield could deploy. On day six, the sunshield opened, which was a very long process, and this would have been the most nerve-wracking part, I reckon. So it's the size of a tennis court. It looks like a almost like a giant, not triangle, what do you call it? That other shape. Anyway, like it looks like a giant kite anyway.
So it had to
tension, which means it was stretched out, and it's got several layers, so it had to open up
as well.
So then on day 10, the mirror support structure deployed. So this is a structure that opens up and supports the mirrors.
Mm.
And then on days 12 and 13, the two sides of the mirror opened up and connected into this giant 6.5 meter mirror array that it has. And then on the 24th of January, which is 1 month after launch, the telescope successfully arrived at the Lagrange Point 2, which is 1 million kilometers, I should say, away from Earth. So it's 1 million kilometers away from us.
Jeez.
And basically it's going to orbit the Earth and the Sun at 1 million miles, making its orbit and then using its engine for course corrections from here and there. But again, because the engine didn't have to use a lot of power and fuel to make any course corrections from the launch, because the launch was so perfect, that engine has a longer lifespan, which means more data can be collected.
Yeah, more data can be collected. Yeah.
Which is great. So that's all I'll say about the James Webb Telescope for now, except to say that we're obviously going to be following its progress now. At the moment, it's in its orbit. The equipment and cameras, it's got these big infrared cameras. It's got a whole lot of them, which can take photos or can observe multiple objects at once. So hundreds of objects at the same time, which is awesome as well. So
expensive camera, man.
This project, I think, went into the billions an expensive over budget project.
You definitely can't buy that camera from Ted's cameras.
It's more than Ted's cameras. Yeah. This is more than the lens that you bought for Bernie the other day. Don't worry. Yeah. Basically it's got a group of different kinds of infrared sensors and cameras. And the important thing about this is that they can see through nebulas dust clouds and beyond into the galaxy beyond to be able to capture light from stars and galaxies and other objects that are out there. That we cannot see with the Hubble Space Telescope or anything else at the moment.
Yeah,
so this is one incredibly sensitive telescope. And like I said, I can't wait to see what it brings back and what discoveries we find there. Yeah. Yeah. So that's the James Webb Space Telescope. And I just wanted to bring up another couple of very quick space stories. So the first one is... I hope no one's going to be planning on being on the dark side of the moon anytime in March, because as this headline says, I think this is a bit clickbaity to be honest, but it says out of control SpaceX rocket on collision course with the moon. Now that gives you the image that there's some rocket flying out there under power, with its engines lit, and it's going to collide with the moon because something went wrong. Now what actually happened was a Falcon 9 booster. So the booster is the first stage which pushes the payload and the second stage into space out of the Earth's gravity well. And then what happens is the first stage separates from the second stage. In SpaceX's case, it usually comes back to Earth and lands. That's what they do now. Or in a lot of other space agencies or companies, the first stage will separate, and then it will burn up in the Earth's atmosphere. Mm. That's what happens in other companies. So SpaceX now recovers its first stages. They come back to Earth and land, which is always really cool to watch.
Yeah, but
This one was deployed in 2015, and I think this was one of two possibilities, because I didn't actually do my research on this. Either this was before SpaceX was returning their rockets and recovering them, their boosters, or sometimes the payload is really heavy. Like the weight, there's more weight. So they have to keep the booster running for longer.
Longer.
To the point where it can't be recovered. So it's basically shot out of Earth's orbit as well. And that does happen, you know, that does happen sometimes where the payload, it's because of the size and weight of the payload, it's not possible to recover the booster. So SpaceX hasn't done that in a long time, but that was sort of the go with that. So it launched in 2015. As part of an interplanetary mission to send a space weather satellite on a million-mile journey. So, again, this was another satellite that went to the Lagrange point as well.
Cool.
So, obviously, it wasn't just a low Earth orbit situation. Mm-hmm. So, the booster did have to do more work to get it out of the Earth's gravity. After the time of completing the long burn of its engines and sending the NOAA's Deep Space Climate Observatory on its way, the rocket's second stage became derelict, so they discard it, just send it out into the solar system. So I'll cut the story short, and if people want to read the article, they can. Basically, because of gravity in the solar system and the way things work out, sometimes our space junk comes back. It happens. All right, it does happen. We've had old probes that have been gone for decades that, you know, that will not come back to this close.
Definitely.
So what's happening now is that the observers have mapped out that this is, it's been on a chaotic orbit. So it hasn't been like in a stable orbit. From wherever it was, and there's about 4 tons of space junk from this first stage.
Yep. That's a lot of.
And it's going to collide with the moon at a velocity of 2.58 kilometers per second, sometime in early March. Some are saying on the 4th of March. And in this article from The Guardian, there's a link to the blog post which goes into some really deep science about why this person says March the 4th. Sadly, if you wanted to observe it, it looks like it's going to hit the dark side of the moon.
So we're
just going to know it happens, but we're not going to see it. Maybe someone will catch it on its way to the moon, but we actually see the collision. Yeah. But I think it's going to be a bit of an anticlimax. I think it's just going to be like a thunk and that's it. You know? Pretty interesting thing anyway. One of the scientists, an observer, he said that the event will allow for observation of subsurface material ejected by the rocket strike. And he's saying that he hopes it hits the moon. But he said, we already know what happens when junk hits the Earth. There's not much to learn from that.
More than anything, it's
interesting. Yeah. And lastly, for our science topic, I just wanted to mention that this is a big year. Every year is a big year in spaceflight. But this is a really big year because there's going to be a couple of firsts. So the first thing is that one of the big awesome firsts is that SpaceX's Starship is slated to launch at some time this year, and this will be its first test flight to orbit. So if anyone's been watching any of NASA spaceflight's live videos and their updates, and also there's a channel called Marcus House. And he's an Aussie, Tasmanian, and he also does an update on space news, like a 20-minute update every weekend. So you can see like what's been happening. And a lot of it is SpaceX, because SpaceX is doing all the big stuff right now.
It looks like it.
And he takes everything and just condenses it into a 20-minute report. It's good. It's like really high quality. So cool. So Marcus House, if anyone wants to see that. So Starship will launch on a test. They've had the booster. They've been testing the booster's engines. The booster is a massive thing. It's I think it's twice as powerful as the Saturn V, which, if anyone knows, is the rocket that launched astronauts into space, into the moon.
Wow.
So this is a massive, massive, you know, rocket. It's going to send a Starship in, and then the plan is that to keep it in orbit, and both the first stage and the Starship second stage will come back to Earth, but they'll land in the sea. So basically, they'll just land on water, and
okay,
and that's it. So this is a test. And we'll actually see how far it actually goes. It will burn up in the atmosphere, or they're not worried if it fails, because SpaceX has a different approach where failures and things going boom is part of the way they operate. It's kind of fun in a way watching things explode when they're testing. It's all part of it. And they basically fail towards success, if that makes sense. So they learn from every failure. They collect the data. They redo things, make it better until it all works out. So that's the first one. The second one is that NASA's Artemis mission, and this is the mission to return people to the moon. So the first Artemis rocket is going to launch this year, and I think February or March is when it's slated for, so it could actually be really soon. So the launch of the Artemis rocket, it's going to be an unmanned launch, so there'll be no astronauts on this one, but it will have the full configuration of two boosters, the big fuel section in the middle there, as well as the capsule where the astronauts, I think it's called a Centaur, and I could be wrong about that, but the capsule where the astronauts, would be sent to the moon, the whole lot, all the equipment's going to be there. And the idea is to launch this and get it to the moon and back again. So the test flight. And if that all goes well, Artemis 2, I don't know when that's going to be, but Artemis 2 will be the mission to send people to the moon.
Send actual physically. Yeah.
Yep. Yes.
Wow.
And Starship is actually a key component of that, because Starship is also going to become a moon lander. Part of the Artemis mission is to actually build a space station in orbit of the moon to use for landing and recovery if people have landed on the moon. So
goodness
me. This mission.
Wow.
The Artemis mission project is amazing. And so if all goes well with this launch, and let's hope NASA's launch does go well, because it's expensive and over budget in a big way. So let's hope it does go well. And there'll be some amazing insights that come from that too. Lastly, this is not a first, but we haven't seen a super heavy launch in a long time from SpaceX. So this is basically three Falcon 9 boosters strapped together to launch a massive payload. And those launches are just something to behold, because not only is it the launch, but it's the recovery of the three boosters. All three boosters come back to Earth.
Two of them
land next to each other, and one will land in the ocean. And it's always an event when they have a Falcon Heavy. So there were no launches this last year for a Falcon Heavy, but I think there are three or four slated for this year. So it's always an event, and I can't wait. And And to my colleague from work who is listening, I'm going to complain again about rocket leave. It should be a thing, and I want leave so I can watch these launches. That's all I'm going to say about that. Right. So that's our science for the week.
Rocket League.
Yeah. All right. So Lino, normally we talk about entertainment, but we are way over time. So I think we're going to wrap it up there, except to say that The Book of Boba Fett is an awesome series, and episode 5 is amazing. And we will say more about that in the future.
In fact, if
we say it in the next episode, we can spoil quite a bit. So let's wrap it up there. So before we go, as always, we want to thank the patrons who support our show and who support the network. So today we would love to thank Lauren B, Eileen E, William Y, Pauline H, and Michael K. Through their generous donations at sqpn.com/give, they make it possible for the Catholics of Oz and all of the great shows at StarQuest to continue. You can join them by visiting sqpn.com/give. And we'd love to know what you thought of our topics today. So today it was Faith Beyond Borders and science. New Year's resolutions, tell us about it. Have you helped people by doing a soup van or a soup kitchen or another project? We want to tell people about it. We want to hear it and share it as well, because when we share, other people get ideas wherever they are in the world to be able to do these things as well. Yep. So please share along. And are you as nerdy and excited about the James Webb Telescope as we are? And did you watch the launch?
That was absolutely awesome. Man.
It was. I actually found it really inspiring. It was amazing. So looking forward to see what the James Webb Telescope will return to us. Are you a space nerd? Tell us about it. We'd love to know. Did we do well with the science segment? Tell us that too. Don't worry, Caroline will be very. She'll be very judgy. Don't worry, she'll tell us.
She will tell us. Don't worry about that.
Love you, Caroline. Hope you're feeling better. And also, don't forget that you can sign up to the StarQuest Insiders Club newsletter and to get updates about what your favorite shows are doing. So sqpn.com /about/newsletter. And if you're a North American listener, you can get updates on your phone by joining the fan club mailing list by texting the word StarQuest to 66866. Send StarQuest to 66866. Also, you can follow us on our socials. I know we said get off Twitter, but SQPN, SQPN is on Facebook at facebook.com/StarQuestMedia and on Twitter with the handle at SQPN. And don't forget, we have our own Facebook page for Catholics of Oz, and we'd love for you to join us and send your thoughts there as well. Facebook.com/Catholics of Oz, spelt OZ, and you can discuss our episodes there. Or send us a good old email if you'd like to share something with us at CatholicsofOz@SQPN.com. Lino, thank you so much for being on our first show of 2022. Hope that went well for you.
It did, Lizzie. Thank you very much. And everyone, take care and God bless.
Absolutely. And once again, I'm Lindsay Sant. Thank you so much for listening to episode 71 of the Catholics of Oz on StarQuest.
Have you got wavy lines? Wavy lines. They call them megahertz by the name.
What the whoa?
Thanks, Lino. You just recorded our outtake.
I think I do.